This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Adam. Welcome back to the Adam Schefter podcast, as we are now in the month of April, the month of the NFL draft, when there will be a second wave of huge NFL activity with all sorts of teams trying to stock up their roster and improve as we get ready for the draft at the end of the month in Detroit. But before we get there, we're going to be joined today by one of the central storylines of last season, a man who last week signed a one-year deal to be the backup quarterback in San Francisco to Brock Purdy. The Pastronaut, Josh Dobbs, will join us today to document his incredible journey last year, bouncing between Cleveland, Arizona, Minnesota, and now signing with the 49ers. But before we get to the Pastronaut, the man himself, we go to another man himself, the co-host of the Fantasy Focus podcast, the co-host of this spot every week, Daniel Dopp, as we bring on this week's Six Pack.
Thank you very much for that, Adam Schefter. Let's dive into this topic number one. We've made it to draft month, baby. I mean, everyone's pumped. Yeah. I'm texting buddies. Yeah. I mean, we're like, hey, did you see Kuiper's latest draft? Can you believe who we gave to us? I'm asking you this question every single show until we get there. Adam, yep. What is new in draft land this week?
Well, here's where I think we start, Dan. We start at the top. And we know that the Bears have traded Justin Fields, and we'll continue to talk about the Bears. But I think we could just pencil Caleb Williams into number one and slot him in there. I know there's been some talk about whether or not he'd be interested in going to Chicago. I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think the Bears want him, and he's good with the Bears, and they're going to go on and form that relationship, which brings us to Washington. I know we're not supposed to spoil picks. We'll see how the Commanders decide to move forward with the number two overall selection. But a little over a few weeks out, to me, I think the signs continue to point to Jaden Daniels being the second overall pick at number two. Seems like he's popular in the scouting community. Seems like he would bring a lot of the attributes that the Commanders would like. I think Jaden Daniels would have a high level of interest in the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Las Vegas Raiders would have a high level of interest in Jaden Daniels. But there's one problem. The Commanders have the second pick. And I think Jaden Daniels is going to be somebody that really appeals to them, as he would a lot of teams, as talented as he is. And it's hard for me today, to see Jaden Daniels sliding much past pick number two. So let's pencil him in there. And I know we're not supposed to reveal the picks in advance. We don't know what the picks will be.
Right.
But again, we'll see how the shakes out. I think that's how it's stacking up a few weeks out. Caleb Williams one, Jaden Daniels two. And then the New England Patriots would be on the clock at number three, with the possibility of taking Drake May at number three in New England.
Kind of feels like where the draft starts for us. That's where things might start to get interesting, is at pick number three. All right. Topic number two, Adam Schefter. I saw a story that Jim Harbaugh gave you a business card, which is already wild because it didn't look like a business card. It looked like an index card. It had like a whole mantra of like life advice. So tell our listeners what Jim Harbaugh's business card looked like, if you can.
Well, this was really great, Daniel, because again, I happened to bump into Jim at the owners' meetings. We were talking, and he said, "Hey, I want to give you my business card," as if I need Jim's business. I'm like, "Sure, right. Give me a business card, right?" So I get the business card, and I open it up, and it says on the front, "Jim Harbaugh's rules to live by," with a big yellow banner and blueprint. And then here are the rules in white, and I'll read them one by one. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added unto you. Attack each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. Who could possibly have it better than you? Better today than yesterday. Better tomorrow than today!" Exclamation point. "Heroes have no days off!" Exclamation point. "Your fate is in your hands," exclamation point. "Think, innovate, find solutions. By your talent and effort, you will be known. Choose a great role model. Watch them, emulate them, then make them proud, exclamation point. A smile, being pleasant, is a small price to pay for the goodwill and affection of others. Discipline yourself daily to be physically fit for life. Great effort equals great results, all capital letters, exclamation mark. Stop trying to win all your fights in the first round. What we do in life echoes in eternity. Seek long and trusting friendships by being happy and helpful for the other guy's success. The best customer is a satisfied one. The only job you start at the top is digging a hole. Treat others as you would want to be treated. That's one side of the business card, Daniel. The other side says advice.
There's two sides to this?
Two sides.
Okay. All right. Give me more.
Yeah, the second side, advice. And there are five different categories. The first one, ABCs for picking a school. A, academics. Where can you get the best education for you? B, ball. Where can you play early, play often, be developed, and win? C, college environment. Where will you be comfortable and challenge? Those are your ABCs for picking a school, Daniel. Then, three keys to happiness in descending order. Pick a job you love. 3, 2, outwork your competition. 1, marry wisely. Like I tell my daughters, don't marry dumb. You can't trust dumb or the decisions they will make. Next category, contemplating a career move. Like, we got all the answers to all of
them. I love this. I love
life
it.
Issues, right?
Keep it
contemplating
coming.
A career move. Do what is best for your family, you personally, and professionally. A place where you'll be happy and productive and where you are wanted and they'll like what you do and how you do it. Next category, follow the direction of those in authority, such as a parent, teacher, coach, or employer. They are the expert and know the subject matter better than me. If I do what they say, then I'll be successful. Listen to the instructor. Embrace the instruction. Execute the instruction. Exclamation point. And then the last category is keep doing you. It's working. And if you want to get a little better at something, work a little harder at it. And whatever you do, don't get a big head. That is a trap, a deep, dark, and lonely trap. And then it's signed, Jim Harbaugh. God bless you and yours, Jim Harbaugh, with his phone number, with his email. Now, I will say this. We had a little conversation, and not to give too much away, Daniel, but we're going to play the full conversation at some point later this season.
Love that.
And it is an outstanding conversation. But there's a little hint from the business card that he gave me, two-sided business card, all sorts of wisdoms, all sorts of little pearls of nuggets of information, all sorts of philosophies. Like, it was awesome. I mean, he's the man, Jim Harbaugh is. And those are the mottos that he goes by.
Yeah, you know you're in for a ride with that business card when you have to unfold it to open it. Most business cards you don't have to unfold to look at, Adam. So very cool. I think actually, stop trying to win your fights in the first round might be my favorite one that I heard on there. I think that's a very, very cool life advice. All right. Topic number 3, the NFL is trying to make things safer for players as always. What do we make of the new kickoff rules, which is trying to help make that be a safer play, Adam?
You know, Daniel, here's the thing. I think the league was getting ready to abolish the kickoff from the game. And I think the commissioner wanted to see the kickoff back in the game. And the way to do it was this, is to introduce a new radical idea that became popular in the XFL that Darren Rizzi, the special teams coach in New Orleans, and John Fossil, the special teams coach in Dallas, helped champion and bring to the NFL. And look, I think the league believes that it's going to make for a higher rate of return and a safer play. That's what the league is striving to do. Now, we'll see whether it works, but if you look at the defenders, they're going to be lined up directly across from each other, like a run play, like a pass play, and they can't start moving until the receiver catches the ball. So, again, they're trying to reduce the injury. That is a big factor here. And I think the commissioner got really bothered when there were no returns in the Super Bowl. So you take all these factors together, and now we get the first play of the NFL season. The first upcoming play will be a play that none of us have ever seen. And it's going to be totally different. And it's going to take a long time to get used to. And I know there are people that are not thrilled with it because they would have liked to have seen teams experiment with it in the preseason, which they're obviously have a chance to, but then it's no dress rehearsal. Like, we're on. Right. When that Thursday night opener starts, the first play will be this play. And coaches have one more thing to worry about, and it's going to be, to use Mike Tomlin's word, radical, but the league is hoping it makes things a little bit more exciting, Daniel.
Yeah, absolutely. More exciting. I think it'll be definitely a different factor to be able to look at and hopefully keep the league as safe as possible. That's obviously point number one. All right, topic number four. That's not the only rule change in the NFL, Adam. Was there another rule change that you feel like stood out as maybe the favorite rule change across the board?
Yeah, I love that they push back the trade deadline 1 week, because the truth of the matter is, Daniel, that is great fodder for Sunday NFL countdown. So in the Sundays leading up to Sunday, you know, each the 3 or 4 weeks leading up to Sunday NFL, you talk about these guys being traded. Well, now we get one more week of trade talk into November.
Absolutely.
After the ninth week. And then there's always the week after that's kind of like a wrap up of that. So you get an extra week. It pushes it back another week. And by the time we get done talking about the trade deadline, we'll be talking about coaches getting fired. So
that's
it
right.
Transitions very nicely. It dovetails very nicely one into another. We're going to have a lot of trade speculation. We're going to have the actual coming and going at the trade deadline. We'll have the rehash of the trade deadline, and then we'll go fire coaches, because that's what happens right after the trade deadline talk. It goes right into coach hunting season. And by that point in time, obviously, there are going to be some coaches who are on a very warm seat at that point in time, whose jobs will be in jeopardy, because that's just what happens every year in the National Football League. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 head coaches are in trouble because everybody can't win every game all the time. It's just the way it is. So pushing back the trade deadline one more week, I think everybody loves trade talk. It's another week of trade talk, and it's another week of fodder for Sunday NFL countdown.
Knowing that the league is now an extra game longer, do you think it was a difficult decision for owners to be able to make to say, hey, let's push this back one more week? Because it feels makes a lot of...
No, you know what they don't want to have happen? They don't want to have happen where a team is, let's just say, 3-8 and their season's south and they're trading away pieces for draft picks. They want this to be competitive. They don't want anyone to have an advantage. But the fact of the matter is sometimes there's a big quarterback injury in week 9. And it's past the deadline, and they can't go trade for a quarterback. So if your team suffers a big injury in week 9 now, there's one extra week for your team to go out and strengthen the roster.
Yeah. All right, topic number 5, Adam. We saw the Eagles and Jets make a deal last week involving Hassan Reddick. What do you make of that deal?
Well, first of all, the Eagles get the pass rusher that the Jets wanted to keep. They wanted to keep Bryce Huff, and they couldn't get a deal worked out. And on the first day of free agency, the Eagles go out and get an excellent pass rusher in Bryce Huff. So what happens? The Eagles want to move on from Hassan Reddick because he's in the last year of his contract.
Right.
And this is a Pro Bowl edge pass rusher. Like, these guys are hard to find, and he's really good. And he's somebody that's popular in their locker room. But the problem is he wants a new contract. And Philly wasn't going to pay him the new contract. So they trade him to the Jets, and the Eagles get back a conditional 2026 third-round pick. The Jets get the pass rusher to fill the hole that Bryce Huff created when he went to Philadelphia. The Eagles get their guy. The Jets get their guy. And that's sort of what happens here going forward. Now, the Jets have really addressed a lot of needs, and they've given themselves a lot of flexibility going into the draft later this month with the 10th overall pick. I still think they need an offensive lineman, another offensive lineman. I think we've learned that you never have enough offensive linemen, particularly when you're trying to block for a 40-year-old quarterback coming up for torn Achilles. You can never have enough offensive linemen. But at the very least, the Jets have gone about and addressed another need, which is edge pass rusher, by getting a guy that the Eagles could afford to go trade because they took the Jets pass rusher during free agency. It all kind of fits together here nice and circularly, Daniel.
I love that. I love that. The way that free agency impacts everything here. All right. Topic number 6. And you kind of mentioned it with free agency going on right now. We've sort of had the majority of quarterbacks that we've talked about come off the board, sign with teams. Is there anyone else that is out there at the quarterback position that is worth paying attention to, Adam?
Here's a name that I want you to watch. And here's a guy that's going to come into play as soon as a team suffers an injury. And that is the former Titans quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. Still a free agent, still hasn't picked a home. Don't imagine he's going to rush to pick a home. But think back to essentially when Ryan Tannehill was in Miami. He got hurt, and the Dolphins went out and gave Jay Cutler, at that point in time, about $10 million to go play quarterback. Well, Ryan Tannehill now becomes what Jay Cutler was for him in Miami. He's the quarterback that if there's a team out there that suffers an injury to its quarterback during training camp, I think Ryan Tannehill is on speed dial, and he's the first guy that teams call if they're in a quarterback bind in July or August and their team loses a quarterback. So we're bringing up Ryan Tannehill's name today, April 1st. I don't know whether we'll next hear his name on June 1st or August 1st or September 1st, but something tells me we haven't heard the last of Ryan Tannehill moving forward. Here's a guy that's made close to $200 million, if not $200 million during the course of his career, doesn't have to go take a contract, can wait until there's a playoff caliber team that has a need at the quarterback position, can wait, bide his time, work out, stay in shape. And then when somebody's ready, then he goes and acts. But to me, that's a quarterback to watch here going forward. Got another quarterback for you to watch here going forward, Daniel. And that would be Josh Dobbs, who was really one of the great stories of all of last season. When we look at everything that he did, it was incredible how he went from Cleveland to Arizona, took over as a starter there, then went on to Minnesota and played very well initially before he got replaced. And now San Francisco assigned him to help take the spot of Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold goes from San Francisco to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Josh Dobbs goes from Minnesota to San Francisco. And one of the coolest stories of last season, Josh Dobbs now becomes a backup quarterback in San Francisco this season. And we figured it would be fun to have him relive the journey of last season while looking ahead to this season. Hello there, Josh.
Nice to see you. Thanks for reaching out. No, appreciate you for having me.
Hey, listen, we wanted to do this during the season, but you were a bit busy during the season. So we figured, you know what? You know what? Now
the season was crazy. Yeah.
How would you describe the season? Because you say crazy. Put crazy into words, Josh.
I think crazy is an understatement. I think whirlwind kind of more accurately describes it. And just because like going into the season, you know, going back to Cleveland, the goal was to pick a place that I understood the system. And so that when I got on the field, you know, I felt comfortable in the system, felt comfortable with the players around me because I had banked reps. So that was what went into going back to Cleveland after the craziness that happened 2 years ago. And so get back to Cleveland, feeling really comfortable with the system, the scheme, the players, the personnel, what they're building. And then, you know, come home from practice before the last preseason game and get traded to Arizona. It's like, all right, here we go. And so getting traded to Arizona with the expectation to start, it's like, okay, I literally just did this last year at Tennessee, very similar like situation. Now it's a very similar offense to Cleveland. So that helped, but it's still new people, new coaching staff. They're getting their feet under them. They're building out what they want to do in Arizona. And so going through that whole process was a lot, but it was like the second I got comfortable in Arizona or on and off the field, it was bang right to Minnesota. So when I say whirlwind, it's because, you know, what I signed up and intended to do right in Cleveland, like kind of happened. Like the goal was to go to Cleveland, be around a great team and a team that had been around so that if my number was called, I felt comfortable in the scheme. And obviously we saw what happened with Deshaun and their quarterback situation last year. And so kind of what I thought could happen ended up happening, but still we were already on the parade around the country. So it didn't matter.
Everything that Joe Flacco did, could you have done that in Cleveland if you had still been there?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, I was feeling really good with that scheme. You know, I thought it was a unique situation because obviously, you know, Deshaun hadn't played for a year before. He played six games to end the season a couple years ago. So he was, you know, getting his, I guess, like not taking the training wheels off, but getting more comfortable in the system throughout the offseason. But I had had probably more bank reps in that scheme and system than Deshaun because of being there behind Jacoby for the year before, through OTAs that year, through camp that year, playing really well in the preseason, right? So like I felt really good with the scheme. And then to just have another year where you're not showing up and starting from ground zero. Like you show up, you know the formations, you know the installs, you know the plays. Like that goes a long ways. And so to go through a full offseason in that Cleveland offense, like I felt really comfortable where I was at. And, you know, if needed, like felt really comfortable going out there and playing and knowing that I would give that team a chance to win each game out there. And I think, you know, doing well in camp and in OTAs with Cleveland and knowing the relationship that they have with Drew and Izzy, who became the OC and QB coach in Arizona, contributed to the trade. You know, I think Arizona kind of looked at their situation. The coaching staffs are close and tight, and we were in the midst of camps. So there's a lot of joint practices going. So I do think like some of Cleveland parties, like, I mean, Josh is doing really well. He looks really good. And it's the same offense, so he might be a great fit for you guys. So I think that also playing well in Cleveland, even though it was in a practice situation, I think it might have contributed and helped out, give me the opportunity to go to Arizona and play early.
What did you learn about yourself in the crazy year that you experienced last year, Josh?
Yeah, you know, I think, man, you never know how mentally tough you truly are until you have to go through those experiences, right? Like everyone always touts being an athlete, you have to be mentally tough. Be prepared for each situation. And like, sometimes it can sound cliche, like, oh, you're, you know, you're a fourth round draft pick and you've been a backup. Like you can tell people like as a backup, like you always have to be prepared for your opportunity because you never know where you're going to get it. You never know how it's going to come, but you have to be prepared to go out there on the field. But then when you have to live it, you know, then you truly understand like, okay, like I'm tough, like mentally, physically, you know, I can go out there. Obviously, I can play football, but to be able to do it under those situations, I think it shows like myself, like moving forward. Okay, like put your best foot forward each and every week. What does that look like? Like, let's get in a consistent, you know, organization around a consistent situation. And you've seen what you could do if you show up on a Wednesday and you don't even know the guys' names. You're still learning plays during the game. Like, imagine if you have a full offseason to go out there and play, where you were able to see the installs from ground zero. You were able to throw with guys in the offseason. I mean, we're throwing routes in the Atlanta game. I've never thrown a ball to these guys. So each situation I've gotten to play, like, it's been awesome to go out there and play well. But if you look at, like, other QB situations and how other guys, like, play, like, no one else has had to do those. Like, Tennessee on a short week, Arizona – getting there 5 days before week one, and Minnesota getting there the same week and going to play. So, I'll be excited to see how much better I can play, how much more consistent I can play, given a consistent environment.
And we're going to get to that in a moment, but I'm curious from a personal standpoint, do you have belongings still that are like in Minnesota and Arizona and luggage that's included? Like, how does that work, Josh, when you're trying to live in all these places? I don't know whether you buy a place, you rent a place, you live out of a hotel. Well, like, what's the deal with all that?
So when I got back to Cleveland, I literally moved right back into my same apartment I had 2 years ago. So that was smooth. Logistically, right, I knew where I was, got everything. I still had my stuff in Cleveland going through free agency a year ago because I didn't know where I was going to end up. I thought I might stay in Tennessee, but I didn't know. And so I was like, I'll just wait till March and then we'll figure it out. So March happens, I'm going back to Cleveland. So I take the stuff out of the storage unit right down the street, put it in Cleveland. Get traded to Arizona. Each team, when you get traded, like the logistics works differently. Like some teams, like when you get traded, they all pay for your move and your cars to get out there. But like some of them will, they'll say, hey, we'll pay for a month rent in your city that you're at. We'll pay for 2 months rent. So Arizona said, we'll pay for 2 months rent. So they're paying for August rent and September rent. And I'm getting out there, I'm starting week one. So obviously my main thought process is, how can I be prepared to start, right? Like, and all the other stuff off the field will handle itself out with the people I have around me, but I got to be ready to play ball each and every week. So I just got like a corporate housing apartment. And I said, all right, I have time. Like on the off days, I would go and like just like look at spots. But I also expected that, okay, if you get traded once in the season and you're on a 1 year deal, but you're also in Arizona, like you have to, like, even though you don't know where you'll be next year, you'll still probably want to enjoy Arizona in the off season. So like find a spot that you at least can enjoy for a year. Okay. So all that to say, you know, went around Arizona, house hunting, looking for a spot to rent. Finally found a spot probably like the first week of October. Got moved in October 15th. We played Seattle. My girlfriend stayed back and she like got the house ready. You know, was taking stuff out of boxes, getting groceries, just like, okay, like we can actually live in a spot. So we movers got there the 15th. We probably got settled the 23rd. We played the Ravens, I think the 29th or 30th, and I got traded the next day. So we were in the Arizona spot for a week, like comfortably, where you're actually like it had a pool. We didn't even get a chance to get in the pool because we didn't have enough time. And then then went to Minnesota. And so
wait, hold on, but do they let you out of your lease? Do they like do you pay a penalty for breaking? Like what's the deal with that?
So I learned because I, you know, I got traded year three. Yeah. And so just from like just talking with people and early in my career, and I have really good parents who are very smart as well. They always advise me like, hey, when you get a lease in a city, like make sure you put, if you get traded, you can break the lease. So because usually like if you break a lease, it's a year commitment.
Yeah.
But if you have a job transfer, so I'm like, if I get traded by the nature of my job, I'll pay rent through the end of the month or till whatever we move out, and then 15 days knows whatever, but I'm not paying for a year's rent and I'm not even there. So
yeah,
I had that in the Cleveland contract. Then I put it in the Arizona contract, in the Arizona lease contract. And the funny thing is, so obviously I got traded there, and I was just tired of living a corporate living. Like I had one suitcase.
Yeah.
I didn't have much stuff. I was like, I just want to get settled as quickly as possible. So we're going back and forth on the lease agreement, and the people were great, like great landlords, but they hadn't, you know, leased out to an NFL athlete before. So they're like going back and forth over this and the lease. Like, no, like we don't need that in the lease. And literally my parents were like, no, you should put it in the lease. I'm like, well, I just got traded. Like, what are the odds I get traded again? Like trade deadlines in a week. I'm not going to get traded again. I'm going to be here in the offseason in Arizona. Now I'll figure out. They're like, no, I think you should put it in. And then what do you have? A week later, end up getting traded again. So I paid for like maybe a half a month's rent in Arizona, got out of it. And then it was perfect. And then in Minnesota, like, again, so now Minnesota, all my stuff got to Arizona. Minnesota now pays for the move for the stuff to go from Arizona to Minnesota. So all my belongings are just doing the world tour across the country, but I just ended up putting it all in storage. I had like two suitcases for the last part of the season. So I really had like four outfits. I just rotated them to wear at the complex. And then I just took enough stuff to be able to have outfits to wear to games. And outside that, I kept it simple, man. And corporate living, found a cool rental in a good part of town, probably about 15 minutes away from the complex. And that was that. So I learned, and that's what's been like weird this offseason, right? Like my first thing I wanted to do this offseason was get settled, get all my stuff out of storage, like see what I have. So I'm in Dallas training, but I was able to like find stuff that has been in storage for 4 or 5 years that I literally haven't seen just because of all the moves. And what I've noticed is just like my habits, like what I do in my free time. Like I used to like play some video games, you know, do other things, but it's like all I need now is my phone for entertainment, because I'm just so used to just having my phone, computer, and my football iPad, and not having any of my other belongings over the past year. So it's been weird being settled, even though we've been in the offseason for 2 months. Like the 2 months have been like weird. I'm still getting back to what it feels like to actually live in a home with all of your stuff. So it's been crazy.
So all the moves have reprogrammed the way that you live your life and consume entertainment and spend your free time.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. You know, in Pittsburgh, I was there for basically 5 years total. And so got really settled, lived in the same apartment, right? Like knew exactly what I was eating on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like had my routine down. It was in a cool part of the city called Shadyside. So local restaurants, like knew exactly what I was going to eat, knew the people in the community, like was entrenched in the community, like had friends in the city. And the crazy thing is I've learned, like when you obviously get traded around, like just the nature of my career has been, man, like the hardest part is, to your point, like reprogramming yourself just to like live a normal life, you know, like come home and like have your stuff or like cook dinner, not always have to go out to eat, like just like the little things that people like appreciate when they're settled. It's like I just haven't had that for several years. And so it's been weird getting back into that routine, you know, picking a place to live, you know, getting involved in the community, because it's hard to get really involved in the community and then boom, the next day you're gone and then you do the same thing again. So it's been a very unique year, obviously in the season, but also this off season's been unique as well, getting back into a normal rhythm of life.
So how did we come to pick San Francisco and what are we doing about living in San Francisco?
Still working on the living situation. You know, I was looking around the league and like free agency hit. And, you know, I think like the way the season ended was very unique. And, you know, I wish it ended differently. I know as a team in Minnesota, we wish it ended differently because we were in the hunt for the playoffs and then fell off at the end. So when free agency came, like the opportunities that were presented, man, like the biggest thing that I wanted, as I said, was to get to a place that has a consistent front office, consistent coaching staff, and does a really good job of QB development and have an opportunity to go through a full offseason in one scheme, get there in April. And even though I'm still learning and it will be learning a new offense, but it's an offense that's obviously very prominent throughout the league. And so to be able to get there in April and be around some tremendous coaches and learn the offense from the bare bones of it and, you know, throw routes on air and build those interpersonal opportunities with teammates and then be able to then go into the season and whatever the role looks like in the room. Obviously, Brock is balling and what they did coming up two times short in the Super Bowl the last 4 years is amazing. So to be a part of that culture and that franchise, I'm really excited. So that's a really where San Fran stood out and why I jumped on that opportunity. So I'm looking forward to it. Now living, it's definitely high rent out there in San Francisco and Santa Ana. So we'll figure it out. I'm in a rental in Dallas. I got a lease through the end of off season, like through the end of July. And then we'll kind of decide if we want to move all of our stuff out there. But also at some point, you know, I'm 29, it's time to buy a house at some point somewhere, even in the mix of the craziness. So figure out what that is going to look like. But kind of free agency was going to dictate what the next year of living situation kind of holds. So
are you going to have the trade language introduced into your rental agreement, or is there no need for that in San Francisco?
Ideally, there's no need, but you always got to make sure. What I've learned is you have to cover all in, so it will be worked in, you know, just in case. And with the nature of the QB situation, like, you know, and I don't want this to be the nature of my career, but I'm not oblivious to people seeing, like, if you can go out and get there on a Wednesday and play and you're a two to start a year and a team needs a quarterback to play, like your name is always going to be a hot commodity to be able to go out because you've shown you can thrive in those situations. So of course that's not ideal, but I'm also like just through the situation, what I just went through, like I'm also not naive to expect something else crazy to happen because, you know, you look around the league, the stories and shoot over the past 2 years, each week is crazy. So anything could really happen.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Adam. So you know what? When I heard that you signed with San Francisco, I had a thought that I could totally see you as a coach there one day.
Really?
Learning the Shanahan way, which has been successful in this league, which has produced a number of head coaches like D'Amico Ryans and Mike McDaniel and Robert Saleh. Like, I could see you going in there, taking to that. And I have no idea whether you have any aspirations to become a coach one day or to become an astronaut. But I could see, if that is something that appeals to you, that this year having a profound effect upon your career in that regard. Any interest there?
You know, I get that question a lot, and I've gotten a lot recently just by the nature of the coaches I've been around, like being around Coach T, Mike Vrabel, now going to be around Coach Stefanski, KOC, and now Shanahan and San Fran. Like, people ask me, like, a lot of my perspectives on the different coaches and different organizations, but also what I want to get into coaching. Like, at this stage, I wouldn't say getting into coaching has crossed my mind. Like, not to say like I think I'm too good to coach. Like, no, not at all. Like, I respect NFL coaches and the grind, how much they pour into it. I love football, and I played football since I was five. But I have like cool interests off the field that I also love, and that also, you know, after my career would take up, you know, time. And so, like, obviously, like, football takes up all my time right now. And so, as you transition, you know, in the next 5, 6, 7 years into what life looks like after football, I'm still deciding, like, would coaching be a route? So my mind is open, but right now I'm just like taking the opportunity to be able to learn from those guys, learn ball from those guys.
Yeah.
Obviously prepare myself for opportunities on the field to go out and play quarterback, because I've shown I can do it. And then if the coaching route happens, it happens. But I'm just trying to like maximize this stage of my career, and it'll set up everything else afterwards.
That's an incredible list of coaches that you've been around. I mean, Mike Tomlin, Mike Vrabel, Kevin Stefanski, Kevin O'Connell, Jonathan Gannon. Now you're going to be around Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
What do you take from these guys? Is there one common trait that runs through the great coaches? Is it something different? Are they each unique? I'm just curious what you picked up from a list of coaches that's impressive.
I would say authenticity. The reason, like, there's the ones that are really good, they're super authentic. And each one of them have their own personality. Like, how it comes across, like, on social media or whatever, like a team post. Like JG, right? Like, people were getting on him for his stuff that he was saying when he showed up at the facility last year. And people were having fun with it. But the man, like, you show up at 6 o'clock in the morning, he's there getting his coffee, and he's fired up for the day. He's fired up to go out and coach. And this is, you know, just beating the Cowboys or, you know, coming off a 3-game losing streak. Like, he's excited. Like, Coach T's in there, like, young quarterbacks, I meet with you guys on Wednesday morning, 7:30 each Wednesday. And he's just excited to share ball with us. You know, KOC, like, how detail oriented he is with the offense. Like, they're all different. They all have their quirks. Like, Coach Vrabel, every Thursday, he's calling out guys in meetings, but he knows the game plan. Like, he's obviously a defensive coach, but he's quizzing the quarterback in front of the entire team, asking the quarterback what is his reads, what's the cans, what's the checks, to prove, one, that obviously he sees the full picture of the game, but also to hold each player accountable to the rest of their teammates. Like, each one of them have their different quirks, but what make them like them is like they're authentic and they are themselves. And as players, like, we're around ball, obviously, but we're also around the coaches a ton. And you can kind of, players obviously have a really good filter of like who's authentic and who's not. And the ones that have the best success, I think, like, they are just truly authentic and they're themselves. And obviously, like, when you're winning, everything's great. But when things aren't going well, that's when it comes out. And the way they're each able to lead men in their own ways, I've been impressed by. And I think, like, it's been cool to see each of those perspectives, because as you said, like that's a crazy list of really good coaches. Like a couple of them will be in the Hall of Fame, you know? And so to be able to be around those guys on a daily basis has been really cool. And also to see, like, also for myself as a player, being in different locker rooms, like you learn, okay, like what's going to not make you stand out, but what's going to move the needle the furthest with your teammates and coaches. And at the end of the day, it's being authentic. Like, be yourself at the end of the day. You know, whoever you are, whatever's gotten you this far in your career is only going to propel you through the rest of your career and into whatever aspect of life after. And so you're just doing yourself a disservice if you're trying to be something else or play into a persona or act like a way you think you should act because you have a certain role or number on the depth chart. Just be you. And that's what the great ones have done. The great ones are just them. That's gotten them success and allow them to lead men in the right direction.
And it's a coach quarterback league. So I want to ask you a few quarterback questions. Brock Purdy, you're going to be teammates with him this year. What do you see when you watch Brock Purdy play?
Man, he plays like efficient football. Like we played him in Arizona, and that's what I respected so much. I think, you know, we stopped him once. I think it was like 31 or 34, 300 yards and a couple touchdowns. Now he does have a great cast, but at the end of the day, like he has to be the decision maker and the driving force of the offense. And the way he makes good decisions, takes care of the football and plays just efficient, clean football. Like, might not go out there and make the wow play all the time, but he's going to go out there and put his team in a great position to be successful. And that's what you have to do, especially in the Shanahan offense. And then obviously, especially when you have some really good weapons around you. And so that's why I've respected seeing how he's been able to quickly do that from the first year getting thrown into the fire, because I know what that feels like. And then being able to go to the NFC Championship game, have one injury away from going to Super Bowl, and then go to the Super Bowl the next year in the midst of obviously all the people trying to say, you know, he's a game manager, yada, yada, yada. At the end of the day, he wins football games and he plays efficient football. That's all you can ask for. So that's what I'm most excited about, just being able to obviously, you know, provide my perspective on what I've learned throughout the league and be able to assume whatever role that looks like this upcoming year. But to be around that and that coaching and that type of player and that type of room and that consistency, I think it'd be really good for me. And I'm excited to see what I'll be able to add and help the team with for this upcoming year.
And Josh, I just want to get your opinion as we work our way back through your teams last year. Essentially, Sam Darnold goes from San Francisco to Minnesota. You go from Minnesota to San Francisco. In a way, you and Sam Darnold trade places this year. How do you assess where Minnesota's quarterback situation is at? What do you expect? I think I won't be surprised if they move up in the draft to position themselves to take another quarterback. But what are we going to see out of the Vikings without Kirk Cousins this year?
Yeah, you know, I think I was a little surprised Kirk didn't go back just because of what they've built. I understand the opportunity in Atlanta, and they got some really good weapons down there too as well. So as it pertains to Minnesota, you know, obviously I think like when you sign a guy like Sam in free agency and you pay him what you do, like you're expecting him to go out and probably start. But I wouldn't be surprised if they took one as well. You know, it's a really good, really strong quarterback class. There's some ballers in this class. I think they have an early pick that, and some capital to maybe trade up. So I wouldn't be surprised. You know, just when like you have a franchise guy like Kirk Cousins and a really good draft, like there's a great opportunity to get another really good guy. So we'll see. We'll see. I got a lot of respect for Jaren and the way that he prepares too. And I know he had an interesting shakeout at the end of the season. But I hope he gets another shot to go out there and play, because the dude works his butt off and prepares like he's a 3-year vet. Like that's why I was impressed. And it really helped me play well when I got there for the Atlanta game. Like obviously it was Jaren's show and he was starting, and obviously he had the injury at the end of the first quarter. But I mean, he was running the show in practice. And so like watching that, I was like, okay, this is what I got to do. Cause obviously when Kirk is just coming off, just literally at the doctor's office, you know, having Achilles surgery, like to be able to see how he was running the show as a rookie allowed me to be able to go in there, step in there and play the way that I did. So I got a lot of respect for those guys in the room. And then KOC obviously is phenomenal, just the way he's able to dial up stuff, get the balls in the playmaker's hands, not allow defenses to dictate what he wants to do on offense. You know, I think that they're going to have a really good offense. So it'll be interesting to see who their play caller is, though, once week one comes around.
Arizona, Kyler Murray, they're all in on him. You expect him to be great this year? What are your thoughts on Kyler?
I think it'll be really good this year. I think one, like the job that Drew and Izzy do, but especially Drew as the OC, he's a beast. Like the way he calls plays, the way he schemes up stuff, the way he just accentuates, you know, each player and putting them in the right position. Like he allows the QB to play free. And so I think when you have that and you have a really good player in Kyler Murray, I think it's a great combination. You know, I think the structure Drew provides will allow Kyler to continue to play on time, get the ball off his hands, protect himself. And he's going to go out and make the wild plays, which is what we all like to see. So I'm looking forward to seeing that progression because it was cool watching. Obviously, you get traded and you take away the emotions of the situation, but you know, like Kyler Murray's our guy. Like he's getting paid $40+ million. You knew he was coming back at some point, but to see how much better he played and how he improved throughout the season was really cool to see that in that scheme. So he's our guy. I think he's going to have a good year this year.
And then Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. What do we expect from him this year?
I think if he stays healthy, like I think we can see him get back to the Deshaun that we expect to see. Like not really get back because I think in the games he started last year, he was 5-1. You know, I think people like try to look at his stats, compare him to Houston. But the thing is, like, he's in a different scheme. He's in Cleveland. You know, it rains a little bit more in Cleveland than it does in the Dome in Houston. So sometimes it could be a little harder to play just offensive football out there on the lake. But he was efficient. Like, he was 5-1 as a starter. And battling through a couple of injuries is pretty good, especially coming off everything that he was coming off of from the year before. So I think he'll get back to form. Like, that team is really good, man. Like, getting Chubb back, having David, Amari Cooper. They just traded for Jerry Jeudy. They'll probably, like, get another receiver, but they got some good young receivers too.
Yeah.
I think they'll be I think they'll put up numbers and be a really good offense. Now, obviously, like I think that's one of the toughest divisions in football, you know, because the Bengals, they put up numbers, Steelers always gonna have a good defense, and the Ravens, you know, were a play away from going to the Super Bowl this year. So that's a really hard division. But if he can stay healthy, I think he can give it a run for the money.
My last thing, you mentioned that you said that there are a number of ballers in this draft class at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Who stands out to you, Josh, and why?
I like Jaden Daniels out of LSU. He was at ASU, and I was committed to ASU. I've always like just continued to watch Arizona State football. So I watched him like as a young freshman, starting as a freshman. I think he started week one as a freshman, which means like you can play ball. And then to see what he's done at LSU has been good. Like I think it was unique because I've been in his position, right? Like you go in, you're around a talented offense, but they kind of build. You first get on the field and they build the scheme around your athleticism. So they build it around the QB run game and QB draw, and like that's your main offense. So I think his first year at LSU, like we saw how well he could run the football, but with this past year, like obviously with his Heisman season, like he was slinging it. So it's cool to see that maturation because I think obviously at the NFL, I mean, if you're trying to run Q power out there, it's going to be a long year and a painful year, but to see him to be able to then win from the pocket, how he's growing, I think he'll be a really good player. Obviously Caleb is going to be good. He's electric. It'll be interesting to see, like his skill set in a more structured NFL offense, just like hearing about the offense, like they're running at, USC was similar to the offense Kyler came into the league with in Arizona with the Cardinals. So to see that progression from that offense where it's very free, it's very open as a quarterback, there's not a ton of structure, to a more structured NFL scheme, I think that will be a interesting transition. But he's talented enough to be able to make it. So I'll be excited to see how he does. I haven't watched Drake May a lot. I know a lot of people talk about him. But another dude I think is really good is the dude out of Washington, Penix. He had Nick Sheridan was my QB coach at University of Tennessee. He was his OC in Indiana. And then Nick was also on staff at Washington with him over the past couple of years. So I've been watching him since COVID year when he was playing at Indiana. And like the dude's a baller. And it seems like the bigger the game, like the bigger the moment, he still shows up and plays into the moment. I know obviously they lost the Natty, but in every other moment throughout his career, like they're playing on the road at Ohio State. And I think he's a freshman and he's balling, putting up 42 in the horseshoe.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be really good. It'll be unique seeing another lefty in the league too, joining Tua. But no, I think he's a really good player as well.
Hey, Josh, I want to thank you very much for the time today. You were an inspiration to a lot of people last year. We're hoping that you provide some more great moments this upcoming season. I hope you get a little bit of stability here in San Francisco, that you're not moving around, jumping around from place to place. I don't think you'll have another year like you did last year ever again in the rest of your career.
Appreciate that. Thank you. No, thanks for having me. It's always cool to talk ball. Yeah, I'm excited for this year. See what it holds. Should be a good one.
Good luck, Josh. We'll be watching you, and thank you for the time today.
No problem. I'll see you around. We'll see y'all.
And there is Josh Dobbs. Hard not to root for the Pastronaut and everything he's gone through. And there were so many things that I was thinking about as he was talking. Like, how does he work out? How to live and how to pack and how to move. And hopefully now he has some stability here in San Francisco moving forward, despite the fact that he is on only a one-year deal. All right. As we mentioned at the top of this podcast, Daniel, we are now in the month of April. We are in draft season officially. And it's nice to have a little bit of quiet time before the storm of the draft picks up. So over the weekend, we had mentioned that we started watching The Dynasty, and my daughter and I watched it together. In fact, we binge watched it like on Friday night. We went from episode 5 through 10 and watched the remaining 5 segments of the Dynasty. And I will say this, what was so cool about the whole thing was to watch it through the eyes of a 15-year-old who had no knowledge about what Spygate was, about what Deflategate was, about the history of Aaron Hernandez. She's like, who's this Aaron Hernandez guy? What happened to him? And you are watching knowing everything that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, learning more and more while she's being exposed to this for the very first time. So to me, it was fascinating to watch her be so captivated by the show. And I was captivated by how captivated she was, in addition to the insights and knowledge that we were able to glean. And I think what stood out was there was just a lot more going on there than a lot of people realized all along. Like, the media was on to some of the tension that existed, sure, but not as much as they portrayed. And everybody tried to downplay it at the time, but clearly it was there. Clearly it contributed to the departure of Tom Brady, which set up another chapter of football history in Tampa. But nobody can take away what that franchise did for the amount of time that it did it for and the amount of history that it accomplished. It was really fun to watch. It was incredibly educational, insightful. And again, for somebody who's 15, my daughter, to watch that and to learn all these things that she had no idea about, it was really fun and interesting from that perspective alone.
Heck yeah. I mean, that's one of those things where just to be able to share it, because you know these details and so many of these stories and insights in and out, right? So your perspective is so different. To be able to pull it back from that perspective and say, like, and kind of meet your daughter where she's at and be like, oh, that's a great, you know what? If you don't know anything, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, it's
very
cool.
But as they're playing all the situations, I'm thinking like, oh, some of the calls and conversations I had during Spygate, some of the calls and conversations I had during Deflategate, some of the calls and conversations I had when Tom Brady tore his ACL on opening day, some of the calls and conversations about Aaron Hernandez. Like, I was telling her, I remember exactly where I was the morning that he got arrested and was pulled out of his house. And I remember the tragic morning where he committed suicide, and it was unbelievable. I was driving to Bristol and went on live TV with Bob Lee, and Bob Lee conducted a masterclass in how to present news as it was unfolding in the most educational, insightful, philosophical, just incredible way. He was, yeah. As I watched Bob Lee that day, I said to myself, Bob Lee has been a pillar for ESPN and SportsCenter, but Bob Lee missed his calling. He could have anchored the evening news on any network. He was that good, that polished. We love the general, love working with him. And again, yeah, these are the circumstances and the situations that come flooding back to you as you're watching each of these things, because you had your own perspective during each one of these significant events that unfolded during the course of one of the great dynasties in sports history, and certainly the greatest dynasty that we've ever seen in NFL history. All right. This week, we want to thank Josh Dobbs for taking time out of his busy moving schedule as he makes another move out to San Francisco. I want to thank you, Daniel Dopp, for co-hosting and navigating another six-pack. I want to thank our great producers, Christina Buswell, Sarah Abbott, for helping put together this podcast, and you, the listener, for tuning in to another Adam Schefter podcast. Please join us in the space next week as we'll be back with more information, interviews, insights as we get ready for the NFL draft later this month in Detroit. Until then, have a great week, everybody. Be well and stay safe.